never.
So we're just going to start now. Our group decided to do the project on changing physical causes and observing its consequences. So, okay, so what we observed was we first took physical causes such as Newton, for example. We took C, E, E naught. And what we did was looked at it maybe in the history of the universe, if it changed, if it did, what effect did it have. And on the other hand, we also looked at the mass of the electrons, photon, and neutrons, and we thought if it might have changed, what effect did it have on the atomic structure, atomic bonds, and also molecular bonds, and everything like that. So we did it first. We took G Newton, and we chose that one because it's affecting us in everyday life, and it's also one of the and most important constants in classical mechanics. And we simulated it on a home gap and looked at the orbits of the Earth around the Sun and what changed if we increased the force and what if we put the force smaller and what effect might happen. And so first of all, we had a rapid change. And that's going to be the Earth here, the Sun. We're going to have the orbit of the Earth right around it. And what happens if we have rapid change, we're going to have rapid decrease of potential energy. So the orbit's going to drop at some point, very rapid, and then it's going to continue to fall. It's going to form like an ellipse. It's going to be twice longer. On the other hand, we had a gradual change. And that's going to be the Sun again in the orbit, the Earth around the Sun. We're going to have a gradual change, and it's not going to be that one. It's going to turn out to be very slowly, just getting closer to the Sun. And so we're still going to have close to the same Earth orbit that we had before. It's not going to change as much as that one.
So after G Newton, we looked at other constants like C and H and all the other things. We saw that, like, if you change C, the theorists in the physics, they always change C. And like just at the lecture, we change C to be 1 meter per second, and like nothing really happens. But what is interesting is alpha. And alpha is called the fine structure constant, and it's also the electromagnetic force over the energy of the photon times the that's the wavelength of the photon. And if you work this out, it's V squared over 4 pi E naught times 1 over 8 C. And this is approximately 1 over 137. And the thing that makes alpha special is it is dimensionless. It's always 1 over 137, whatever metric system you take. If you take, like, instead of meters, you take yards, it's always 1 over 137. Just like numbers as I and the Euler's number E. And it's quite special. We don't know why it's 1 over 137. It's like a number given by God or something. We have no idea.
That's part of it.
Alpha is also used in the energies of different states of the hydrogen atom. It's a formula of the hydrogen atom is the energy of the electron, so m e of c squared times l squared over 2 n squared, where n is the number of the number of circular orbits. So the first orbit n is just 1 second orbit, n is 2 n squared. And we also see that the photons emitted by a hydrogen atom depends on alpha. So if you look at the spectrum of a hydrogen atom, you see the photons, and this spectrum depends on alpha. And we've also looked in the telescopes at other stars, and we've looked at the spectrum of a hydrogen atom, and we see it change. It changes because of redshift, but that doesn't explain all the change. There's a slight change in the spectrum, and we don't really know what it is. We think it might be because has always changed over time. This might be that like speed of light isn't, or speed of light or electron charge is the constant in the history.
All right, so we decided, what if we do change alpha? What's the big deal? Like having to do with just with atoms and molecules and how everything works when that level. So our first guess is that nothing really happens. This is how we started off. We were guessing that like force inside an atom, like with the electrons going in and out with radius, is going to be proportional or equal to alpha over r squared. If you change alpha, you're going to have a higher energy based on that equation. However, you're going to have a greater repulsion between the electrons, so your radius will go up. So we just kind of were like, oh, well, that doesn't work. And that led to a bunch of little drawings like this. We have about 10 pages of that. And that really didn't get us that far. We kind of came up with the exact same conclusion as before. And so what we decided to do is look at the math of it. Like, if this just looks like everything will change proportionately to alpha squared. We change alpha by 1%, everything changes by 2%, and nothing happens. That's not really the case. Look here, I'll see that in the project. So, this is what we looked at. We're looking at how a fundamental charge affects atomic radius. And it's pretty simple, I guess. Just to go through it, you have your you have your orbit diameter, which is always an integer multiple, what, natural number multiple of the wavelength. So then you can just go down and use your wavelength equation. Going through your energy formula, you can say energy is equal to kinetic energy plus potential energy. You go through a bunch of steps, and what you arrive at is that your orbital is proportional, is inversely proportional to v, to the velocity of the electron. We know that v is proportional to alpha, and but you know that your orbit size is inversely proportional to alpha. Thus, if you increase alpha, your orbit size will get smaller. Going back to this thing here, we assume that this would increase as that increases because of electron repulsion. But the radius doesn't increase, so that means atoms would be less stable due to all of the charge being, all this negative charge being more highly concentrated. Yeah.
Yes, so.
Oh, that's what we were going to say for this one. Oh, that's good. We'll come back to it again.
So we also looked at the influence of alpha on the nucleon. So first of all, we know that a great deal of the mass of the nucleon is due to the electrostatic forces, so that's established by that old formula, Coulomb's law. So when we take alpha, we since alpha is directly linked to the electron, to the square of the electron charge, when we change alpha, we change the charge of the proton and neutron. So by changing the charge of the proton and neutron, we change their mass because we don't consider them as point particles as in electrons. So what am I saying? Yeah, okay. So changing the charge of the proton and neutron, by doing this, we change, we logically change the charge of the quark. Okay. So a proton, as you can see here, we have an oversimplified model of a proton. So you have two up quarks and one down, and here's a neutron with two down and one up. So what we did, what we did is that using, well, we oversimplified, it was in the two dimensions, and we used the classical formula of Coulomb's law to see the interaction between the quarks and a proton and a neutron,
And from this, we were obtained, we obtained a formula where the electrostatic force is equal to E squared over 3 times the distance. The distance is the distance between the quarks. But we have to tell you that we did not change. We can, we had a let's say a triangle with three equals, so the equilateral. Yeah. So it's very it's a very rough estimate, but we can still see that the electrostatic force is directly related to the square of the electron charge. And as mentioned before, alpha is equal to the electron charge squared. So we see that by changing alpha, we change the electrostatic forces inside the protons and neutrons. So when we have a bigger alpha, we have a higher E and a higher nucleon mass, and the inverse happens when we have a smaller alpha. So the consequences of changing alpha, okay, you must have seen this graph. Okay, good. Okay, this is a graph of the binding energy for nuclei in relation with the number of an element. And we believe, we don't have pure conclusions about this, but we believe that this binding energy would change when we when alpha changes. Oops. Good. Okay, good. So, yeah, so we believe that this would, in turn, influence the stability of elements. So, we can't have a great conclusion about this, but we believe that some isotopes that are currently stable in our world with the alpha that we have could be radioactive in other circumstances. So, to conclude, there are stipulations that, because of cosmic observations, the observation of cosmic background, there are theories that alpha would differ earlier in the universe, when the universe was formed. So it seems to be, it was a very interesting thing to explore alpha and how changes of alpha have an impact everywhere, well, on everything pretty much. You just cover the surface, but you see the great impact of alpha. And the last thing we have to say is, happy birthday, Constantine. We've been here, and we're bad at it. Anyway. And thanks, Richard and Mike.